So we have verification of quorum. I sent you guys the agenda. I think it was on Friday. Can I get acceptance of the agenda?
I move that we accept the agenda as written.
I would second that.
Okay. Next, we have the treasurer's report. Do you want to give a...
You need a vote. You need a vote.
Oh, sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so it was unanimous. And I say aye. So all four.
Yes.
Okay. Alan, do you want to give the treasurer's report?
Okay. We reconciled the books 2 weeks ago. So according to that, in the Bank of Oklahoma checking account, we have $21,990.02. The money market fund, for checking for the community banks of Colorado, the checking account, we have $585,184.86. In the money market fund, we have $801,740.91, for a gross net worth of $1,408,915.79.
Okay, anybody have any questions? Okay. I'm sorry, you guys, I have a blank. Do I need to make a motion to approve the treasurer's report? Do we normally
No,
do that?
By acclamation, it can be accepted.
Okay.
I move that we accept the treasurer's report by acclamation.
Thank you. A second, okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay.
Actually, if you do it by acclamation, you don't need a vote.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm going to tell you, you guys, I'm brain dead. So bear with me if I miss something, or it's been a couple late nights doing stuff. So, okay. So we'll move to the interim director's reports.
But nope. We need to go.
Oh, I missed the minutes. Sorry.
Minutes.
Sorry, I checked it. Okay, so I sent you the minutes on Friday and asked you guys to review those. Do we have any changes to the minutes, or are we going to, everybody okay? Then we can vote on it.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes as printed.
I second that.
I'm sorry, give me a minute. I'm going to put you on mute.
There was some dissent in the background.
Yep.
Those are the cheap seats.
I don't know if that was my crew or if that was somebody else's.
I think that was Patty's crew.
It was my crew about to get into a song that I had to go stop, or we were going to be in big trouble.
You stopped the song of their people?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yes, it goes on for a while and it's loud. It sounds horrible. When you have 15-foot ceilings, it resonates.
We okay. Know where we're going for opera night.
Yes, you can come here. And the dogs will sing with you.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, what a mess. It's been a long week, right? With my husband not here, and he usually entertains them, and you know, and so I'm trying to do all of that. So tonight I was trying to get them out early and get them back in and get them fed and thinking, okay, they'll be good, but they may not. So if they're not, I apologize. Okay, next, can we go? Because we did get the approval on the minutes. We got a first and a second. Well, we accepted by acclamation.
We need a vote. So we need a vote.
So we're good, right?
No, we need
a
vote.
We need a vote.
Oh.
Aye.
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 Karen, did we get your aye?
Yes.
I heard it. Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. All in favor. Okay, can we now go to the interim director's report? And we'll start with Lori.
Let me give a quick update of what I'm thinking of. I've been home today. I've got a cold. I may sound a little like Lauren Bacall, so no. I'll do as best as I can through my sore throat.
Just put your lips together.
And blow, yeah.
Oh, shucks.
There's worse people to sound like.
Yeah, I guess. We interviewed five candidates for the vacant ASG position in Kiowa and Elizabeth. Any one of the five would have been able to do the job. Two of the five really stood out. We made an offer yesterday, and our chosen candidate is going to take a day to think about it, and we'll get back to us. We've got a backup candidate if our chosen candidate doesn't want to work with us. After all, she'll be taking a pretty significant pay cut to do it. But if not her, she's a fabulous fit. If not her, we've got another great candidate right behind her. Let's see. Patty, we've been working on a lot of the things that you've been sending our way. I'm just trying to fit them into my schedule, and I've been less than 100% with this stupid cold.
It's okay. It's all right. I understand. We're all working overtime.
I have a question.
Oh, sorry.
I have a question for Lori.
Sure.
ASG. Define, please.
ASG, Activities and Services Guide.
Thank you.
That's to replace Chelsea and would be a colleague of Ben Richardson. Well, that's all I have that I can think of.
Ruben? Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Lori and I have been working on the audit items, so we've gotten the list started for onboarding, offboarding stuff. I've reached out to Sarah Wright at Click to see if she has any other great ideas or other libraries that would be good to reach out to confirm with them and get a more complete list. So we're tackling projects left and right, and it's going pretty smoothly. We got our new key box as well, so I got it initialized for us, so we can get that installed over in Elizabeth. And those are the main things I think this week. And mostly, it's just been kind of tackling stuff and working with Lori and Kathy to get stuff worked out.
And there was something I was going to ask you about that we gave an update on. I'm trying to think that we talked about in our management meeting on Friday that I thought you might want to share. Is there anything else that you guys have done that you've signed off on that you think the trustees might need to know? I'm sorry. I thought I would remember. Oh, yes. That.
No, you're good. And I did get it set. I haven't got it fully set up on Kathy's side. I'll work with her on Friday for that. But we did talk about doing the team viewer. For the access so that she doesn't have to drive to Elizabeth every time that she needs to do the edits and updates. So I did get it installed on the Elizabeth side computer. So I'll work with her to get that installed and see if it's going to work out for her successfully as a more long-term, well, temporary, but long-term solution.
Okay. And I'll talk. I think I have that as an update on the online QuickBooks so we can talk more about it there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't see, I have the interim directors, but I'm sure you probably gave me your branch report as well, or?
I can add on a little bit on the branch.
Okay.
For Elizabeth. Good things are happening. Our book club is just getting more and more popular. Lisa Hughes does a marvelous job of arranging that, and she did just, she had 12 people last time. She's had more people sign up. They very wisely choose all their books at the beginning of the year, so everybody knows what's coming, which means that Lisa goes here, there, and everywhere to make sure that everybody has a copy, because we very rarely have 12 to 15 copies of anything. But it's a great group, and they're very glad to be meeting again in the meeting room. Similarly, story times continue strong. Janie has been filling in now that Chelsea has moved on. We continue to have lots of folks who are eager and willing to come. We continue to see more and more new cardholders, which is great fun. And so things are kind of ticking along in Elizabeth. It's beginning to feel like normal times again.
Ruben, did you have anything for the branch?
Susan and Sharon have been working on a little project to get some of our book series updated so it's cleaner and easier for folks to find things. So we've been working towards that. They've been chugging along for over a month now on that, and we're getting nearly through all of the adult fiction just to make sure that it's easy for folks to see if it's for some of our more prolific writers like Patterson, so we can actually separate out this is part of this series and this is this item of that series, so it makes it a little bit easier for folks to browse and find what's going on with the series. So that's kind of been one of our bigger projects last month. And then we have also we got everything, I think I already had mentioned this last month, but we did get the new furniture set up, so we have kind of a more nice looking it's been certainly a nice step up to have a lot of our staff lounge new refrigerator and cabinets and such set up, and a couple of the new lights just to help with the darkness and kind of some of the corners in the back room. So we've been spruced up, and we've really got a lot of new cards, and so there's been a lot of new names on our whole shelf, and people are glad we're back open, and we've been seeing a slow but steady pickup in traffic.
Ruben, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Are you in outer space right now?
I am not. I'm in the Albert Library, which probably has a lot of different acoustics.
If everybody puts their stuff on mute, let's see if that helps. Sometimes that helps. If we're all on mute and he's trying to talk, it'll take the echo out.
Okay.
So the last bit I was talking about was that we've been seeing a good return to our visits, good traffic back in the library. We've got a lot of new cards, so we see new names on the whole shelf, people are glad we're back open and getting things done. We just did our first Lego night back tonight, so we separated out the groups by age, so everyone was in different rooms, and went really well.
It didn't help. It still sounds like you're on in a tunnel, but thank you for that.
Oh, sorry, it might be this laptop. Since I normally use my PC most days.
It's okay. It sounds like Mystery Theater 3000.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's a good reference.
I do want to, Laura, you brought up a couple of things, and I thought it was important for the trustees to know is that that you have, that the workforce group has picked back up in your building.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
We have an arrangement and agreement with the local region of the state workforce program, where they come in one day a week and use our small meeting room to help people who are looking for jobs. Cynthia Rule is the person from the workforce who comes in. She's a local resident, and she does all kinds of things. She helps them write resumes. She helps them track down job notices. She meets in the small study room, which used to be a closet, and so it doesn't have heat. And it sounds, if you think Ruben sounds funny now, anybody in that meeting room, it's an echo chamber. But it is what we have, and she's glad to have it, and we give her that room and from 9 until 3 on Fridays. We've learned something about keeping the door open before she comes in because it does get very cold. So we lent her one of our old space heaters, which promptly then threw the breakers on the lights in the rest of the library. Yeah, it was pretty exciting because I didn't know where the breaker box was. So there was about a half hour of pure panic, and then I got it straightened out. But it kind of reminded me that when we come to renovating and updating the building, we're probably going to have to update the electrical system as well, because it can't bear computers, lights, and a space heater. Yeah. So there's that. What else can I talk about?
Do you want to talk about Rick Morgan coming back?
Yes.
And do
yes.
you want to talk about your book sale?
Yes. Thank you. Rick Morgan is the fellow who runs or offers Lawyers in the Library program. This is a statewide program, and he's our local lawyer who helps. You may know Rick. He also is the Veterans Office in the county. He and his wife live outside of Elbert. She's head of the garden club in Elbert. But anyway, they've been operating by telephone, like most of us, and they are coming back to be in the library live starting in April. And we're delighted because that does bring in folks that we don't normally see, and it surely is a service that our county needs. The book sale, we are planning on having a book sale at the end of April. I say we. It's the Friends. It's not me, but the Friends are planning on having a book sale. They're building up a lot of extra, more than extra, they're building up a lot of donated books that they'd like to thin out. And the structure of the Friends group has kind of fallen apart. People, you know, move on, and this kind of interest in a Friends group kind of waxes and wanes. And right now we're at the wanes part. So we're not only going to have a sale, but we're going to have a meet and greet where we can greet people. We know that we have people interested in the Friends because they have a brochure at the front desk. And we very often have patrons who say, well, you know, can I join the Friends? I'm new to town. I'd like to meet some people. So it's just a matter of getting it started up again. They have a reserve, a pretty healthy reserve. I think it's about $10,000, $12,000, but haven't been able to raise any money since COVID. One of the things that raises money for them reliably constantly is the book sale room, which is in the big meeting room. And so that's been closed up until just the last month. Now we're glad to have people just come in, look at the book sales. It's a pay as you go, pay what you feel is right. That takes the stress off of staff. We don't have to run anything through a cash register. And Robert's got a friend. Wow.
No, it's a growth. I'm gonna have it.
I have friends too, but mine don't mine are camera shy. One at my feet and one in my lap. So anyway, we're really thrilled about that. It's it's going to make the Friends a little money. It's going to allow us to meet some new people, and it's going to help clear out the back of the library building.
Great. Thank you, Lori. Does anybody have any questions? I just wanted to make sure you were getting credit for all the good things you're doing, and I also wanted to make sure that, you know, that's just additional validation, right, that the library is picking up back up to do business as usual. And that will be good information to know when we go to talk about COVID protocols. Okay, so the next item is I wanted to, and Ruben, I think you told me this. I think we talked about this in our Friday meeting, but that they did approve the ratification of our new board trustee, Sheila Zuschek. And so just wanted to make everybody aware that I don't think we've gotten any formal documentation back from them yet, right?
Not that I've seen, no.
It's in their minutes. I know it's in their minutes. And it was in the newspaper today, which was.
Oh, well, very good.
It's just weird.
And now you're a media star.
And they do normally. And they do have to send us some documentation to say that. It's like formalizes it with us. So, but I'm sure they'll send it. I'm just, we haven't gotten it yet potentially. So I want to welcome you, Sheila. We're so glad to finally have a full board, and we're excited, and we know you'll bring a lot of value and help us move forward with all the things that we're trying to do. So,
okay.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. And Lori, I think your line, "It's beginning to feel a lot like normal," should be the new Christmas hit.
We need something normal, don't we?
Yes.
Robert, Alan, Karen, do you have anything that you want to say? Or?
Well, again, I'd like to formally apologize to all of the members of, the staff members of the library branches that were affected by the mess up with the locks and the gentleman that came to install them. I thought we had that covered, then I found out, of course, after the wheels had fallen off, that we had left the staff in a lurch. And I was reminded by a couple of people that, you know, it is something in particular that as we go into this build out, we need to be cognizant of the fact that the staff has a full-time job, which is not babysitting, you know, the construction workers. So we are going to have to develop a protocol and make sure that we don't find ourselves in that kind of position again. So my apologies. I think I'm speaking for the entire board. It just was a perfect storm, and
This is Alan. I want to apologize. I think I was the loose cog in the operation, in that I did not notify Elizabeth Library that something was going to happen. I thought it was going to happen on the following Wednesday, and the guy apparently moved it up. He came back into town, and so he was trying to do it on a Saturday, and I was totally unaware that something was going on, and we got through it, but it was a struggle.
You know, as Robert says, I think this was, once it's over and done with, the locksmith, by the way, is coming back tomorrow to get us more locks and to cover the doors that he missed. But I think the timing actually in the long run is a good thing, because it did give us a little preparation for what's coming down the road. It was a really good practice run. So, once it all settled down, I was able to say, okay, we learned some stuff out of this, and we're just going to move forward. Not to mention that we're more secure.
I'd like to add one more thing in here. No, I'm going to stick it in later. Never mind.
Okay. We'll go to the next item is the 2021 audit update. So I just want to say that the staff have been, I think we've all been putting in a lot of time to support the audit. We're on the final. She was trying to hope to finish it up this week. Her part on it, she did give me insight into our audit findings. And so what we're trying to do, just so the rest of the trustees know, is that we're trying to close out the audit things that she had questions about. And I think we got her the last bit. The last question was about, what is Jabberjaw's telecom in comparison to, is it Quest, the service, the line that brings into the library? So we got her that answer. I did respond to her on Monday night. We talked about her audit write-up, and I asked for her to make some wording changes, and she said she would consider that. She's doing an audit this week somewhere else out of town. So we have something we need to sign, Alan, and I will print that out on PPL letterhead, and I will probably, could you meet me at the library tomorrow afternoon, let's say around 4:30 or 5 o'clock to sign it? And then I'll bring back also the personnel files. Lori and Ruben, I did pick those up last night in the payroll files, so I'll bring those by. We can get those locked back up. And then the final piece, one of the pieces that we also have to send back to her is a management comments, our management discussion and analysis. And I have drafted that with some support from Mary Ellen. And I asked Lori to be a second set of eyes, because when I'm working on it at night and it's a lot of numbers and a lot of information, I just want to make sure that I've not missed any, you know, I've dotted my I's and crossed my T's. So I've asked Lori to take a, to do her, put her English teacher hat on, or that edit hat on that she does so well, and to take a look at it and make sure it's accurate. And then that will go back to the auditor, and it will be presented with the audit to the state. And I will share that with all of you. Like, all of that, once it's finalized, will be brought back. This would be normally something that a director would do. And since we didn't have a director, and since the interim directors were just coming on, I kind of stepped in and did some of that. And I've been coordinating that work that director and the finance admin would do. I've been coordinating that work with Lori and with Ruben and with Kathy. So, but it's been very enlightening. And I will tell you that I think myself and Alan and the library managers have learned a whole heck of a lot that we didn't know, that was not shared with us in the past. And I think that we've become more empowered, and now we're very clear about a lot of things. And I think going forward, we're going to be better for it. Hopefully, that
I could beat you at 5:30. That's fine.
At 5:30.
At 5:30 is good time for you.
Okay,
I'm going to put good for you. Five. What?
Can I say? Can we do 5?
Okay, I'll do 5. That's fine.
Okay. I'll make a
note. I'll feed the dogs and head out.
Okay, thank you. Just need you to sign the document, and then that's it.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. In regards to the audit, so we'll do that management discussion and analysis after we've Lori's reviewed that. We'll send that back to Lori, the auditor. And then there were some audit findings. And those audit findings, we need to respond to the actions that we're going to take to ensure we're aligning with internal controls. And those will all be presented to the board by the auditor. So we'll look to do that in April. I think we have to have it all done and said by like June or July. So I think we'll try to have her at the next board meeting if we can, and she can go through that. Sorry, you see my friend up there? Decided to jump in over my shoulder. They're a mess, I tell you. They're like 2-year-olds. Anyway, so we'll get that back to the board. There were some findings that I will just say in preparation that we had some discrepancies, some significant findings. I forget what they call them. I'm sorry, I've gone blank. There's 2 things. And a lot of them were, I think it was a lot because we transitioned, right? We lost a director, we lost a financial admin, and we lost a board president, all at a critical time. And so had we had a financial admin doing the audit, there may have been things we may not have ever found out about or known about, right? And so though there are some audit findings that I think we can easily improve upon, I do think that, and that I think audits are always positive, right? They help us to improve. They shouldn't be looked at as something that's bad. And so we don't have any major like things that we can't fix. There are things that we can fix and that we can put processes in place. And we'll do that, and we'll document that, and we'll give that back to the auditor so that she knows, right? And she also provided some comments in regards to how the audit has gone. And they're all positive comments in terms of how we've supported her. So anyway, more to come. We'll hopefully finish that up next week, and then we can have that presented to us as trustees in April.
Who was our auditor?
Her name is Lori Hendricks. You're going to ask me the name of the, I have all these papers with her names all over it. I should be able to tell you. Here, her name is Lori Hendrick, and she's with May Jackson Hendrick and Parker. This is the fifth year we've used her. She did come in, we did go out for bids, and she did come in as the lowest bid. Our cost, our expense is probably going to be more since we didn't have somebody who was familiar with all of the financial transactions that had happened this year, since we didn't bring Wendy back to support that. So we'll probably have a little bit greater expense because she had to be more engaged probably than she would have. And then the fact that we had two people leave, right? She needed to look at additional items because that always brings kind of an alert to an auditor when you have people leave the way they did. And so so it may be a little more expensive. And if it is, we may need to make an adjustment to the budget line, but it shouldn't affect us overall.
Okay. And will I maybe the report was sent to the rest of the board before I joined the board. I was wondering if that's something.
It hasn't
something...
been sent yet.
It hasn't been sent yet. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So as soon as it's finalized, she's finalized and signed it off, then she'll send it to us as trustees, and then we'll make sure and she'll come and brief it so that if we have any questions, we can ask those questions.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm hoping that maybe by the end of next week that we can kind of get all of that, get all the pieces back to her that we need, with the exception maybe if potentially, and I think it will really depend on, there's some piece of it that I gave back to Ruben and Lori to say, like, how, what are the actions we're going to take to address these items? So there's that piece, and then there's a little bit bigger piece, and I have got to document those two. There's like two other things related to payroll that I'm going to document after talking with Mary Ellen. So, but we'll, after we do that, right, our response to that, then it will totally be complete, and then she can brief us. So we're just doing the last little bit of legwork. Okay, the next line, did anybody have any questions before I go to the next item?
Oh my goodness, so second, please.
Goodness.
Oh my goodness. Okay, the next item.
I think he has to go to the matrix.
Oh, okay. Are you guys okay if we kind of skip that? Because I was going to talk about building maintenance update and discussion, yeah. And I know that Robert is a part of that. Are you guys okay if we go to item 10 on the agenda? Alan, are you on?
Yes, that's okay. Fine. That is fine. We can go. We've already talked about
the security piece.
Is Robert off right now?
No, he came back. Came back.
Okay. We can do the number 9 now, or we can come back to it after we do 10.
Let's go ahead and do 9 now since he came back. This is the building security maintenance update discussion. Basically, what I wanted to do, Robert, is just kind of find out like where you were on the plans you were looking for. And I think, you know, we need to talk about also, I know, you know, you guys have been talking about we need to get started. And I think what we really need to do is talk about scheduling potentially a working session in May. And let's start to document kind of the strategy and the plan to get from A to Z, right? And I don't think it's going to be one working session. I think it's going to take some work because I think it's going to take some thought, right? And so, like, what are all the things we need to think about that we need to do to put in our plan to even start? And the other thing that we haven't talked about and that we need to talk about is, do we want to partner? Do we not want to partner? What are we going to do? So I think all of that stuff needs a discussion, and maybe we could have like a 2-hour workshop in May to, you know, talk about that stuff and just do some brainstorming. I mean, we've just been brief about it, but just a thought. So, I mean, Robert, if you want to talk about where we are on the blueprints, or what I think you were looking for, architectural drawings or something.
That's what I was going to talk about earlier, and then I thought, well, it's going to be covered here. First off, Lori was kind enough to find the gentleman for us that actually built the building. And unfortunately, even after contacting him and him saying that he was going to do some work and uncovering those, he's been unable to do it. So I'm going to have to go in and see what I can find out in terms of, you know, the main question is, we did have the upstairs looked at by an engineering firm, and they confirmed that anything that we wanted to do upstairs in terms of offices and a work, a lunchroom for the employees, a meeting space for them, restrooms, those kinds of things, that's all possible on that floor. It's not compromised as badly as we were afraid of, and so it will be fine. We also did find out, or I did in my research, that the original company that owned and put the building together, the gentleman that Lori directed me to, said that he at one point decided that he wanted to try, that he might want to try and put in a second floor in the large open space in the back. That is possible, but what he did reveal to me was that he had a structural analysis done by the company that built the frames and stuff, and he said it would not support a second story. That does not mean you can't have a second story. It just means that you can't put that weight on the outside frame of the building. So that's a change. The second thing that I wanted to talk about was, I got the feeling from the BOCC when we were over there the other day that they were interested in making sure that since we've amassed this sum of money, that we were at least making strides in some planning and involving the community as much as possible. So it doesn't look as though we're just making money off of the public without having some plan of what we're going to do. And so I do think that the schedule that you've set up for us, Patty, is good. I do think we need to do something about letting the public know that we are in the process of kind of rolling out on some of this stuff, whether we have any real data or not, and it was more Grant Thayer than anybody else, and rightfully so. I mean, it has been some time in collecting this money, and I feel real good about that. But you really want the public to be on board with the fact that we're doing something.
I don't disagree with you, but I do think that before we even go to the public, we need to have a plan. Like, we need to have a strategy and a vision. We don't have that. We just talk about we want to expand the building. We don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know what that's going to cost. We don't know anything. And so I think we have to gather some data, right? And put a strategy together and say, you know, these are the things we're going to do. We can say, you know, we're going to, like, for example, if we were going to build onto the back of the building, right, and we're going to build a second floor, well, is it going to be ADA compliant without having an elevator? I don't know. We're going to have to find out that kind of stuff.
Oh, we have to have an elevator. We may have to have two.
I'm just talking about, like, I don't want to go to the public and say, you know, we're talking about building out when we don't even know what the build out is going to cost. So, like, if we start doing that planning and strategizing, right, and have a strategy and a plan together, and we come up with some estimates, and then we could say, you know, like, if we build out, these are some line items on what they're going to cost. Because I think when we talked about it before, and in the management discussion and analysis that I put forward based on a previous discussion and analysis, it was like $3 to $4 million to do stuff like that. And so I think if we showed a bigger thing to say, like, this cost is going to be, you know, it could be $2 to $3 or $4 million, that helps people to better understand why we have 800,000 or a million in, you know, capital reserve, right? And why we're doing that. So I don't disagree with you, Robert. You know, and of course, when we have a workshop, it's a special meeting and it can be open to the public. We just maybe won't have public comment, right? So at least we'll begin to let people know that we're doing the planning to talk about what does it look like for the building. But we don't even know, like, if we're going to partner, if we're going to do it by ourselves. Like, there's just so much we don't know. And I feel like if we try to start having discussions about we're going to do this without really a plan of how we're going to get to A to B, we're going to look like we don't know what we're doing.
Patty, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to be argumentative here, but we do have a situation where we are, in my understanding of this, we do need to, it's fine for the five of us to sit down and say, well, this is what we could do, but we haven't even asked the public what they want. I mean,
well.
If we came up with the plans you're talking about, then it's our vision. It's not the public vision.
No, well, I'm not talking about that. But we do need to understand if we're going to have to reinforce something, what we're going to have to do to even if we wanted to build out, right? Like, we have to know what we're going to. I'm probably not explaining this very well. I agree we need to talk to the public, but I don't think we can go talk to the public and say, what do you want? Until we have at least some basic information that if they ask us, we could respond. Now, I'm open to anybody else giving their opinions or thoughts. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know what we would go to the public and say.
With the proposal at all. I mean, it's simple enough to say we need to develop the library. We have the building space to do it. What would you like to see here? And I think that we're open to criticism at every level. As soon as you say we want to develop the library, somebody's going to have some kind of criticism of that. And as soon as you say we have a plan, somebody's going to have a criticism of that. And, you know, I do think that we need to ask the question. I agree with Robert. We need to ask the question, what do you want? And then if they come back later and they go, that wasn't what I said I wanted, you know, I think, though, that we're going to probably tumble to the majority decision. And, I mean, there's always going to be somebody out there who doesn't like what we're doing. But I think that it's important to at least ask the question.
Let me just throw in something else. It isn't that I'm interested in actually them somebody coming in and saying, well, I want a second story, and we want a great big fountain in the middle, and we want this, that, or the other thing. That's well out of bounds. But for instance, I mean, the one thing that and I've talked to this some with Lori and others, is that, you know, libraries are changing. And what we offer them, I think a lot of people have this notion in their mind that libraries, are just places where, you know, they're a repository for books and maybe some meeting rooms. And there may be somebody, for instance, that let's say from, and I'm just throwing this off the top of my head because, Sheila, I know you've done some of this kind of stuff, choir, Karen's involved with choir. Is there a small performance area? And again, Patty's right when she says, you know, are we going to partner or what have you? I mean, I don't really know that the public even has an idea that that's an option. So I'm not saying that we need to go out and lay it out like this is exactly what it's going to look like. But someplace along the line, I have to agree with Mr. Thayer that we've collected a lot of money, and before somebody makes the suggestion, for instance, that the amount of taxes we're collecting, if we're just amassing money, is maybe too much, and let's drop the mill levy or something like that. He was not being negative when he suggested that it would be helpful to the public. So I just throw it out there. Again, I'm not trying to be argumentative. I know what you're saying, Patty. You and I have gone over this a lot. It's just something that we've got to be cognizant of.
How would you, I'm not disagreeing. I mean, I guess my question, and please know, I'm not looking for consensus on anything I say. We're each individual board members who bring our experience and our knowledge to the table, and it's all valuable, and I respect it all. I guess, how would we, just an idea, and I know we don't go into it here, but how are you proposing that we might do that? Like through a survey that we're looking, we've paid off the building, we're looking to increase services at the library. How do we, and we're considering expanding the building. What would you like to see? Kind of question. Or would that be a survey that we put in a paper? Would that be something that we send out to library patrons? How might we do that?
I think we need to start with our library staff. The library people are the one whose finger is on the pulse of what the public, when they come through the doors, talk about or express or even the thing that they don't like. I'm sure somebody at some point had said, God, I'm glad I'm over here, not in Parker, because that place just drives me nuts. I mean, they're the ones that have some honest feedback all the time that's unsolicited, and we might want to just start there.
I had a talk with Lori last week when I was talking about the lock situation. We talked a little bit about possibilities of design and stuff, and she kind of basically told me one thing about Parker's library, in that they have a problem there, in that they have this open vestibule where the first floor, and there's this grand staircase going up to the second store, and there's a large open space. All of the noise that's on that first floor flows right up through that space and affects their meeting rooms and everything that they have on the second story. So that tells me that, plus the fact that trying to put books back on the shelf and stuff, what it basically tells me, if we're thinking about meeting rooms, we maybe need to keep all the library book stuff on the first floor and think about possible a meeting room or two on the first floor and something bigger on the second floor. That's one way to look at it. These are all design stuff. We need this idea about having an auditorium type of deal. There is such a thing at the Castle Rock Library, and it seats, I'm not sure how many people. Maybe we need to make a grand tour, go look at some other districts, i.e. Douglas County, see what's working for them and what's not, before we jump off the cliff, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, Englewood has a big auditorium too. And, there are soundproofing measures that you can take. I'm familiar with the Parker Library to know that the meeting space upstairs has glass walls. So that might contribute to how the sound moves through there. And it is very open. So I think you're right.
I think that we're all kind of agreeing. that, you know, that we need to think carefully and do research before we do anything. We need to find out what our community wants. But at the other side, we need to make sure that the board and other people who are interested in our finances recognize that we are moving forward. So maybe there's a couple of things we can do if we kind of think about it in the process. If we have an open house and talk about, you know, this is what we've got, what do you think this should be in, and make sure that gets in the newspaper and it gets on next door online, just to make sure that the community can say that we're not just sitting on that money and waiting for it to grow, that we're actually, what we're doing now is the work that doesn't show very much. So I guess we'll have to think kind of a little bit of public relations and have it show a little more as to what we're doing.
And we've got a little bit of time here too. I mean, I know that summer's coming up and there's going to be some programming through the summers. We can actually be putting out, you know, I as much as I think that Robert's right, we should start with our staff, but we can also go directly to our patrons. If we're having movie night at the library, we can be asking people right there, like, what do you want the library to be?
Yep.
Maybe we could have some kind of a survey that we're asking people to complete when they come in and visit, right? Like, we're talking about potentially expanding the library. What kind of services would you like to see? What kind of open, you know, what kind of rooms would you like to see rooms here? What kind of services and a space would you like to see? Maybe we could do that. So what I'd like to do is, I think this is a big discussion and this is a great start. So I'm wondering if we can schedule some time in May to have like a 2-hour workshop and just kind of do some of this brainstorming.
Well, I'm good with that. One other thing that I'd like to just throw in on what we've already talked about is that we still have a city that wants to be a partner. And one of the things that, if we did put a second floor in the back area, I'm still hesitant about partnering in something where they might be able to turn around in the courts later on and say their need is greater than ours, et cetera, and we end up getting swapped out of the building. But if we have, we went into it with the notion, and we wrote something ironclad right up front, and we did reserve some space for them. I don't want to alienate the town of Elizabeth. We are our city for the spot, and so I do think that they need to be as well. And Patty, you've done a remarkable job with this, and I'm not questioning your leadership in this at all. I know you are.
Like that.
Yeah.
We're a team, Robert. This board is a team, so I don't look at it like that, along with our library. So it's fine. We can all have different ideas on how to get there. Everybody's input is respected and valued, and I just think we need really a time where this is our focus and this is what we're talking about. And then we can put together our next plan, right? Our plan, our steps. What are the things that we want to do next?
Okay, so I would fully go along with your 2-hour work study meeting, but I'd also like to volunteer to go out with maybe somebody like Lori and one or two board members, and take a tour of a couple of these other sites. So we might go in and find out what works and what doesn't. And I'd be willing to head that up.
I would like to go on that. Also, one other thing, I think we need to touch base with the Elizabeth Building Department and see because it's my understanding there are some things that they think that we need to complete or finish on the outside. We need to find out what their priority, how they think that has to happen prior to anything else happening, or if that's a concern or not. And I think that's something Robert and I need to go to their to the Elizabeth Building Department to find out if there's any hanging baggage there that we need to be aware of.
Now, this is Lori. I agree. Tim worried all the time about the parking lot, because it was his impression that they were going to request that we have the parking lot paved before we go any further. It strikes me as not making a lot of sense to pave a parking lot before you do a lot of construction. I mean, you pave the parking lot at the end, and we don't know how much of the parking lot is going to be covered by building or going to be a garden or what. So I think it's a really good idea to make connection with the building department and let them know, if we absolutely positively have to do some paving before we can do any construction, well, then that's something we have to do. But it would be helpful to know if they understand that we might be doing some paving that we have to tear up.
We also have the possibility that after going some of the plans that I've seen, the lot is large, and there may be room for.
Will now be recorded. Recorded.
Yes. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Ruben, is that you?
I think Ruben has jumped off. He was going
to call.
It's Karen. I'm Karen. Okay. I'm here.
At any rate, that there may be enough room and the location is so prime that there are things you'd have to decide, because there's a kind of a floodplain in that area. That doesn't necessarily mean you can't develop it, but I think these are all things to look at. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was enough space for another building for the town of Elizabeth to use over there, and they buy that, and then that money that, or the proceeds from that, help us finish our expansion? I'm just saying, we need to look at all of our options.
Can we table further discussion on this for a working meeting? Because these are all the kinds of things that I'd like to put in a project plan so that we can begin to tick off those things we need to do to get from A to Z.
Sure. Okay. I have no problem with that.
Can I get I think I need to make a motion. Can somebody make a motion to table the rest of the building discussion to a work study that we'll hold in May? And I guess, when are you guys available in May? Is it just me that has to worry about availability?
May's my worst month ever. You guys pick a date and I'll try.
How's it Friday? Any Friday in May?
That's probably okay for me.
That's probably okay for me.
Sheila?
I'll try.
Are Fridays bad, early or late? Like, do we want to do it like a lunch working meeting and I bring lunch? Or do we want to do like 2 to 4? What would you all like to do? What time of the day works best for everyone? And on a Friday, do we have any problem getting the meeting room in the library? Lori, do you know?
We have one standing meeting in the library now. It's on Fridays. I think it's the first Friday. I'd have to look at the meeting calendar. That's the only thing that's reserved right now.
Okay.
I actually have a reservation, standing reservation from 7 to 9 at night, and I've had to tell those folks that we can't do 7 to 9 at night on Fridays, which is a whole different discussion about meeting rooms. But Fridays are pretty open and clear.
Can we do Friday, May 13th from 2 to 4?
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
Is caller 03 Ruben, or is that Karen?
This is Karen trying repeatedly to have a functioning web broadcast so I can figure out what the heck I'm going to be putting in the minutes.
I understand. And
bless you, Karen.
Okay. So can we make a motion then that we'll table the rest of the discussion on the building, that we will have a work study that we're gonna plan for Friday, May 13th from 2 to 4?
I would make a motion that we have the meeting from 2 to 4 on Friday the 13th in May. And do we want this to be the trustees and library managers, or do we want to include the public?
I say it's trustees and library managers will do the work study, and that it will be open to the public, but there will be no public comment.
Okay, I would make that amendment, or I accept that amendment.
I second that.
Okay.
We have a motion to have the meeting on Friday the 13th, 2 to 4. It includes the trustees, the library managers, open to the public with no comment, at the meeting room in Elizabeth.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Did you get that, Karen?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a discussion and approval of an employee pay change. So we have an employee who works at two libraries. She started at one library at one rate, and then she picked up some shift at another library, and it was a different rate. I'm not sure why that was done, but from a simplicity perspective, I'm making a recommendation that it's not about what library you work at. It's about that you work for the library district. And so the original date of hire that she started at the library district should be her date of hire, and her pay, whether she works at the Elizabeth Library or if she works at a Kiowa Library or a Simla or an Elbert Library, that her pay is the same pay. So it doesn't matter at what library that person works, her pay stands at what it is. So I would like to get the trustees' thoughts on that and see if there's any problem with simplifying that structure for her.
That sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
The only reason I understand, the only reason that she had the two different pay rates, she was doing a supposedly different level of work at one library to the other. And so because of that level deal, that's what was the discrepancy in the pay, because Kathy and I, when we were trying to work through the payroll, it was causing us serious brain damage. And I agree, whatever the top level, that's what she should get paid, no matter which library she's at.
Okay. So, and I don't want to use the name because it is personal. So that's why I'm saying we have an employee. So I do want to then, can somebody make a motion that for the library employee who has two different start dates because she works at two different libraries, that she will have one start date. That will be the original start date with, I think she's, did she start at Albert or did she start at Elizabeth?
Started at Elizabeth.
So that will be her start date, and her pay will be, I think, is the pay at Elizabeth.
Yes.
If I make a motion, can I make the motion to read that any employee that is employed by the library district that has, it works at two different libraries. Their earliest start date is the official time for all libraries.
So we're not making a motion. We're still discussing, right?
Okay. But would that motion, so that we would cover any other employees that might have a similar thing in the future?
So
is that
possible,
or we just need to worry about the one?
No, we should make it consistent. So when an employee is hired, they are employed as an employee of the library district, and the salary that they're hired at and the position that they're hired at, no matter what library they work in, that will be their rate of pay.
I agree. I would make that motion. It would read as, any employee hired by the library district, no matter what library they work at, their first starting, whichever library that is where their pay rate is figured from, that start date, the earliest start date at all libraries.
I'm going to write this up in a formal resolution, but I want to be clear.
Before we do that, let's make clear that that's if the employee has the same job title in both places.
Does this employee that we're going to make this change on, does she have the same job title in both places?
I just asked Ruben, because I'm not certain if she's got the same job title in Elbert as she does in Elizabeth. I think
she does not. She does not.
The job duties
are not.
Yeah, I think essentially what she's doing in both places is the same. So you know, that's kind of the question there.
I don't know that we can do that. I mean,
we can't.
In terms of like if an employee is, say, they take a transfer that involves a promotion, are you going to take away their start date?
Oh, no, we're talking about if they're working in two places at once.
What happened is this person had a start date in Elbert and a start date in
No.
And that start date, and in those, in each place, she had a different position. But she's basically doing the same work at both places. So it really should be, like, I'm not going to penalize an employee because she has a second start date at Elbert, right? Like, whatever her original start date was with Elizabeth should be what her hire date is. And that's how her benefits should accrue. And she should be paid whatever the highest rate is, because that is only fair, because the work is the same, right? And so maybe if we do away with the whole Elbert title and all of that, she's just going to get that title that she has in Elizabeth, and the pay will be the same whether she's working at Elbert or she needs to backfill Simla or she needs to backfill Kiowa. Like, it's kind of like what we did with the part-time employees, for example, that want to work sub-work, right? It's kind of the same as what we did with that. Like, instead of having these two different pays that we have to try to figure out, like, we just hire the employee as, going forward, we'll hire the employee as an employee of the library district at a title and a rate, and whether they work at any library in that capacity, they get paid at that rate.
Right.
So.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So I'm going to write that up so that it's clear, and we'll have a resolution on it. And in the handbook, when we do a review of the handbook, we'll do an annual review. We'll make it very clear in the handbook how that works, so that way there's no question going forward. And this will be effective. I say, can we make this effective? What's today? Today's the 30th. And so the pay cycle goes, can we make this effective with the, I'm trying to think.
Can you, if we get the resolution written, can we make it effective next Monday?
Well, I was going to say we can just make it effective in this pay cycle, since it goes through the 16th, I think, right? It goes from the middle of February to the middle of March.
But we haven't approved the resolution. We have a consensus of what we all think, but we haven't approved the resolution.
Right.
So I know that this is impacting like people's pay, but maybe we need the resolution and to get an approval. I don't know if we do votes via email or anything like that. We could do that in advance, or we could do that in retroactively, nunk-pro-tunk, to a certain date, in which case we'd probably owe them money. And I'm sorry that sounded really complicated, but yeah.
So that's how I was trying to make the motion. We can do it in this meeting, and we can make it retroactive to the beginning of this pay cycle, which is, I think it's the 17th or the 16th of February.
It'll be the 16th through the 15th.
So we can make it retroactive to the 16th of February of 2022 so that it will cover the person that we have and then anybody going forward. So I guess you made the motion already, right? So let's make an amendment to the motion, right? So
I would accept that amendment.
An amendment to the motion to make it nunk-pro-tunk to February 16th.
Right.
Yeah, I would accept that amendment. I made the original motion.
Do I have a second?
We have a second to the vote, to the motion, or to the amendment.
I second the amendment.
Actually, we need to vote on the amendment first, and then vote on the first part second to do it correctly.
So we were just voting. We just had a second on the amendment. That was Robert.
So we'll vote on the amendment, and then we'll vote on the whole thing.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, this is confusing.
This is the correct way to do it according to Robert's Rules of Order.
It's okay. The secretary will work it all out in the end.
I'll write it up for you so you have it, so it's clear when you're making your notes. So we made a motion, and the original, let me just recap. We made a motion, or Alan made a motion, and the motion was that an employee when hired is hired as an employee of the library district. Their effective date of hire is the date they're hired, and their position and rate of salary doesn't change if they should work at another library, right? Because they're employees of the library. Then we made an amendment to say that we want to make that motion effective retro back to the 16th of February, and that was that motion was made by Alan, and it was seconded by Robert. And now we need to go back.
The amendment.
Now we need to go back, and we need to get a second on the motion.
We have a second on the motion, and we have a second on the amendment. So we need to vote the amendment first, and if we approve the amendment, then we go back and finalize the vote on the original motion, and it's done.
Okay, so let's make a vote on the amendment. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Who did the motions on that amendment?
It was a motion by Alan and a second by Robert.
Okay, thank you.
And did you get who did the motion? The original motion was by Alan, and it was seconded by, was it Robert or Sheila?
Robert. Okay.
Robert.
All right. And now we're going to go back, and we're going to vote on the motion with the amendment, right?
Yes.
Okay. So all in favor of the motion with the amendment, say aye.
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 And so motion carries. Karen, I'll write up the resolution, and then I'll send that to you. And when I review the minutes, I'll make sure that we got it. Okay. I just wanted to give an update really on the online QuickBooks. So I think it was back in January, I think, when we voted to go to online QuickBooks. Online QuickBooks has now been found after some research by Kathy. It's not that simple, especially this far into the year, to go to online QuickBooks. It's very difficult. It's not something you just export and import into this online version. And this online version also has a payroll component, kind of an automated payroll component, which we didn't know that when we voted on it. So I'm coming back to you guys to let you know that we are going to hold off on doing the online QuickBooks. And what we have found as a solution instead, because the whole purpose for the online QuickBooks was so that way, if anything were to happen to Kathy, who is handling our financials as a kind of a added responsibility in the absence of an admin, that we didn't need to be single-threaded. And we have we have Mary Ellen, who's been contracted, right, to be a backup. And so Mary Ellen doesn't live locally, and so we needed some way for her to be able to log on and do the work without creating any extra work. And so there is an application, a piece of software, and it's kind of a remote desktop software that is relatively cheap. I don't know if Ruben came back on and can tell us the cost, but basically you put it on the Elizabeth machine, we'll put it on on Simla, on Kathy's machine, and then we'll also, Mary Ellen has a copy of software, so that way, no matter where you're sitting, if you have the login, you can log into the Elizabeth computer. It does remote desktop login. You can access the QuickBooks, and you can do the work as if you're sitting in Elizabeth. So that's what we needed. This is much cheaper than doing the online QuickBooks and all the work that would come with the online QuickBooks. So my recommendation is we do this, right, instead of the online QuickBooks at this time. And then what's going to happen is, like we said, we wanted to look at automating payroll and timekeeping. And so when we start to gather those requirements, we'll include then what we should do, you know, whether we should do automated online QuickBooks or if we should do something else, because it all needs to flow together. That process does. We don't want it to be disparate, and we don't want to do workarounds. We want it to be integrated. So that's what Ruben has been working on. He's been trying to get that team viewer on the machines. And I think what he was saying earlier is that he had team viewer on the Elizabeth machine. And Ruben, did you want to talk about the cost? It's less than online QuickBooks, but I'll let you talk to that for them so they know what you're doing.
Yeah, so it ends up being $50 a month, so it ends up being cheaper in that regard, and it gives us essentially three people could access that computer, so it'll cover both Kathy as well as Mary Ellen, and then if we needed to have a third person for some reason, we could, but so it gives us a little bit of that leeway, or if Kathy has two devices she wants to access from, something like that, it fits within that, and then I did get it installed on the Elizabeth computer last night, and so I will get, I'll walk Kathy through with the information for the setup. We'll make sure that it'll work, but I imagine we should have her up and running on that by Friday or end of day Friday.
I have a question.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ruben, is this called Team Viewer or is it QuickBooks via a Team Viewer?
So the software itself is Team Viewer. It acts like a remote desktop, and then once she's accessed and tunneled essentially into the admin PC, then from her own computer she's able to operate that and navigate it. So it'll still be running that same version of QuickBooks on the same hard drive.
Okay, thanks.
And it does use user ID and password, so you're not going to be able to get into it if you don't have the user ID and password.
Makes sense.
And what this does too, I will just add, is what we had in January, right, where I had to take QuickBooks, I had to put it on a disk, I had to overnight it to Mary Ellen. She uploaded it to her machine because she had the QuickBooks software. She did the work. But what happened is it didn't go back to the Elizabeth machine automatically. So what happens, it loaded back up into the disk or the flash drive, then the flash drive comes back. And then what had to happen was that there was this extra work that had to be done by Kathy, right, to align it with what was in the QuickBooks on the desk in Elizabeth. And then because Mary Ellen didn't have that remote access, We had to run the check. We had to write checks. We couldn't even run the checks because the software wasn't connected. We had to write the checks out manually to get employees paid. So this will alleviate all of that. And it will also ensure that it'll help with some of the driving so that Kathy doesn't have to drive back and forth. She can do some of that data entry that happens. She can do that from her office in Simla. She will have to come back to run checks, but she should be able to do all the prep work before she has to run the checks. She'll have to come back and run the checks from Elizabeth, because what I don't want to do from an internal controls perspective is have checks that should be at the library district at another branch. They need to stay in the library district, needs to stay all together in one place, all of the documentation, because if we don't have all the documentation in one place, or if it gets lost, something happens, right? Like we're not following our internal controls. So I wanted to give an update. That's what we're doing, that the interim directors talked about it and agreed that we would do the team viewer for Kathy instead of online QuickBooks. So does anybody have any questions?
No, but thank you for all that hard work.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I just wanted to say, it does have a special bit of software that I just have to confirm will work, but it does let us tap into the printer. So if needed, Kathy could print the checks from Simla, and that, as long as Lori or I could be there to receive them. And then, you know, if Alan or something, if we needed to, it does also have that functionality, which is nice.
Oh, that's good. So you could load the checks in Elizabeth and she could print them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That would be great too. That helps. Okay. All right. The next topic is a discussion and decision regarding COVID protocols for library employees. So the question or the comment came up about, do we have to continue to wear masks? And I said I would bring that back to the trustees, and I'm going to make a recommendation, and then everybody can, of course, have your say. So to date, we've had 1,325,000 deaths from COVID. 37 states no longer report new cases or deaths, so we don't really have any understanding of what the true figures are. I know everybody's tired of COVID. I'm tired of COVID, but it isn't over. But we are better positioned, right? We now know the actions we need to take that can help keep us safe. We have two objectives, I think, as trustees in regards to the library. One is we don't want to close the library anymore. We want to try to keep it open. So what remediation, what activities can we do to ensure that our second objective, which is keeping our employees safe? My recommendation is that we continue to wear masks. I know it's difficult. I know people are tired, but sometimes doing the right thing and being a leader is hard. It's not easy. So I'm going to recommend that our employees continue to wear their masks, because we don't have a large staff. And if employees get sick, it could require that we shut down the library like we had to do in Simla. We haven't asked or required employees to get vaccinated, so we don't know who's vaccinated and who's not. But I feel like we have a responsibility to all of our employees to try to do the best we can to ensure they don't get sick. And now with this B variant, which is more contagious, there are studies that are saying that 20 to 40% of people who get COVID, right, could potentially be disabled in some way. I just think we have a responsibility as trustees to take care of our employees and to try to do all we can to keep the library open. So we've asked to get air filters for the libraries, so that we can have good air ventilation. We've purchased N95 masks for our employees to try to keep them safe. We do know that we have some employees who are immunocompromised. And I think that we continue to operate the way we're operating. And let's just see, you know, what occurs with this B2 variant. I mean, my main thing is we keep our employees safe and we try to keep the library open and keep our employees healthy. So that's my thought and that's going to be my recommendation. Robert, you want to give your input?
I couldn't agree more. These newer strains all seem to be more and more virulent. We've had enough vaccinations that, you know, I think our death rate is starting to come down. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, it's like my niece was in for chemotherapy today. We have some beloved employees that are, you know, going through similar situations. And I think it's important that we set the example. Gay and I still wear masks everywhere we go. And, you know, as much as anything, it's not that we're fearful that we're going to get it, but we've got had our shots. We're talking today about getting the second booster. But it's not only talking the talk, it's walking the walk. Now, I have had conversations with people that say, well, yeah, but you don't have to wear the damn thing. And you're making that decision. I have to wear it and it's hard to breathe, et cetera. I understand that. Even though I think it may cause some consternation, I think the spirit of what you're saying, Patty, is very important. I think it's something that we continue to review.
I'm going to speak up here in opposition. And my concern, oddly enough, is not so much the staff, though I know the staff, most staff are very anxious not to be wearing masks. And to be honest with you, when there are not patrons in the building, they are not wearing masks. So, you know, I'm concerned for staff, but it's more on a morale kind of thing. The bigger concern for me is the limitations on the meeting room. We are now limited to no more than 15 people in the meeting room. We're requiring them to be masked. That is completely out of step with the community. Now, we're in a funny spot because we have strong feelings that may be in opposition to the community, but at the end of the day, we are a product of the community and not in opposition to them. You know, on a more granular level, back, 2020, I was able to win a grant for the library for community conversation about what the community aspires to be. I have not been able to use that grant. I got an extension from the American Library Association, but I must have this done by the end of May. And I want to have 20 people meet in the library and talk about what they aspire to for the Elizabeth community. I'm not going to get 20 people if I'm requiring masks. I think there's being cautious and then there's being completely out of step with the people that we serve. And at this point, I don't think we're in a danger position. With the B variant, we sure could be again. And I think we would stay vigilant. And I think our county health officer will help us stay vigilant. But I really think that we're making we're making a mistake in terms of the feeling of the community that we're part of them. I think we're setting ourselves apart. And I think that's very detrimental. I think we have lost some people that we're not going to get back. And if we can't get those meeting rooms open and operating as normally, first thing I'll have to do is write to the ALA and give them their money back, which is pretty embarrassing. But beyond that, I'm having to tell groups that they can't meet unless they're wearing masks, because I'm meeting a lot of resistance, and I don't blame them. I truly don't, because there's no place else right now in the world where they do have to wear masks. So That's where I'm coming from. I may be the Lone Ranger on this, but I really feel pretty strongly this is now negatively impacting the operation of my library, and I really would like for us to be brave and let it go.
Lori, I don't think you're the Lone Ranger on this. I think that's kind of a fair assessment, that there are people here who don't want to wear masks, and whether we agree or disagree with them, you know, it's not really relevant. But they're, if you want to get people who are representative of our community, it's not going to be people who wear masks predominantly. We know by the vaccination numbers, we know by the number of people who don't wear masks, period. And I think that all of that's true. I do think that I also agree that we have some kind of a responsibility to our employees. And I also understand that our employees are making choices for themselves, whether they're inside the library or outside the library. They have to wear one inside of the library, but outside of the library, they may be making different choices. And I don't know. I think that I don't know that we can make one protocol fits all decision here. I know of environments where I'm a little surprised that we don't know what the vaccination rates of our employees are. I understand we can't ask them, but generally people say things. So I'm a little surprised that we don't have an idea in general of where we're at in terms of vaccination of our employees. So I guess I feel like, you know, when we don't have patrons in the building, if we have employees who don't want to wear masks, I think that they need to be making decisions based on the comfort level of the other employees. For instance, if somebody walks into your workspace and they're wearing a mask, you need to put a mask on. And that's just, you know, common decency. And I'm sure that most of our employees understand that and we comply with something like that. When we're in front of patrons, we don't know. If we're requiring the patrons to wear a mask, we absolutely have to wear a mask. But I really just don't think that this is a one size fits all kind of thing. I don't think we can say it's just like this or just like this. We may have to put a little bit more thought into this.
I think where we're at and where most people are at right now, I think what we have a sign on the libraries now that say masks are recommended. I think maybe what the sign is should say is masks are recommended but are not required in small print underneath.
I'm seeing that a lot more around businesses too.
Could we?
I know that the new strains of COVID are more readily transmitted. We're finding that they're not as deadly. But again, we're in a county with a very low vaccination rate too. So I don't know what to do in regards to public safety when people they've been given the information, they don't want the vaccination.
We just lost former Commissioner Metley, who died of COVID, and it was a horrible end for him. And it's people still going to die. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line, because we don't no two people get this, you know, virus and respond the same way.
Exactly.
I just
people are becoming disabled from it. You may not hear
that is about true.
There are a large number of people, 20-30% of the population who even get a light case of COVID, right? Are having long-term effects, brain damage, lung, heart damage. organ damage. So, I mean, I get, and I agree with you, Sheila. I think it's difficult, right? I mean, I could see where potentially we might say, okay, masks are recommended but not required, and open up the meeting rooms for no mask. But I still feel like, and in talking with the public health director, we have the right to make decision about our employees.
We do, and that actually is one of my concerns. If we open up the meeting space to people and they've got the option to wear a mask, what risk are we putting our employees at? That is actually the one thing that probably concerned me most about that. Because, you know, do our employees have to pass through the meeting space to get to their offices?
No.
Okay.
The large meeting room is completely set off from the rest of the library by design.
Okay.
And have we bought the air purifiers that like Ruben had bought for Kiowa? Have we done that for Elizabeth?
We haven't yet. I can do it tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to have one of those in that room.
The credit card will cover. I'm not sure that it will.
I don't want people to die from COVID, and I definitely don't want them to die from COVID because they got exposed in the library. And I certainly, above all other things, don't want it to be one of our employees. I just think that it is a fact that we live in a community where people may not patronize libraries because of what they think is a stupid mask. I'm not saying that they're stupid because I wear one. I'm just saying that are we really fulfilling our mission if we say this is one size fits all?
This is a tough one, folks. Karen, do you have, as a nurse, do you have an idea on this?
Well, you're right. It is difficult, but here's my take. I think that it's up to the individual to determine whether they want to protect themselves. We can't necessarily say, I'm going to protect everybody around here, even though they haven't had a vaccination, they haven't worn masks, they don't really, you know, care, or however that goes. So I think I would tend to say to each employee, at your own discretion, if you feel like you need to protect yourself, and granted, it's not always just to protect you, it's to protect the people that you're around. But that's kind of where I'm thinking. And leave the sign on the door saying masks are recommended. Sure, we all know that by now. But I'm not really sure that a mandate is going to be, like Sheila says, and Lori, I mean, the patrons have their own take on it, and if they're not wearing a mask, I just think we should let that drop.
I have to agree. I this weekend I am flying, and to fly you have to wear a mask. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If you don't wear a mask, you're thrown off the plane. They do land it before they throw you off, but you're taken off by the deputies.
Funny.
Well, I mean, I do think that it's in terms of what we can control. Not that I'm really into controlling employees, but I think that we can ask our employees to be respectful of one another. And if there is an employee there who wants to wear a mask, when they get in that like 10-foot area of them, they need to put their mask on. And if then a patron comes in and they're wearing a mask, you need to put your mask on. But otherwise, I think it's kind of at their own discretion.
I agree. If you want to wear a mask, it should be your option. and nobody should look down at you or give you a hard time because you are wearing a mask. If you are, that's your belief. It's yours and your only belief.
So we have already stated that if people are sick and they have symptoms of COVID, whether it be the Delta symptoms or now the Omicron B2 symptoms, that before you come back to work, you should be tested, PCR tested, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that stays in place.
Yes.
I'm still concerned about people, employees, spreading to each other. We'll look at the Simmel Library. They had 3 employees, all 3 of them were sick. They had to close the building. So I just want people to understand, like, if we have one person who gets sick and that spreads to the rest of the staff, the library is closed. And then what service are we doing for the patrons? Right? That's my concern, and that and keeping our employees healthy. I'm okay with, if you guys want to open up the building, I mean, open up the rooms and not require them to wear masks because that's difficult. We're going to put air filters in there or put those air purifiers in there to kind of help them. That's fine. You're right. We can't control what people, just like we can't control employees, what they do outside of the library. But we do, as board trustees, have a responsibility and can mandate or make a requirement or a policy of what employees are required to do. So I still think that employees should wear masks. If you want to open up the meeting rooms to no mask required, that's fine. But I mean, I worry because that's still not the greatest protection with the fact that the B2 variant is something like 20% more contagious, right? And even though it may not, your symptoms may not be as bad, you don't know who's going to be the person who's going to die from it. And you don't know who's going to be the person with the long COVID. So, I mean, that's kind of where I am. I can compromise in terms of, you know, opening up the meeting rooms and not requiring masks, and then let's put some air purifiers in there. I have a hard time saying employees don't, I have a hard time just going, okay, things are back to normal. Let's just drop the mask. Let's drop all precautions and let's just live life, because it's not normal. We want it to be normal, but it's not normal. Not back to normal yet. And I do understand we have to live with it. But I think,
Patty, there's a lot of employees I see that still are very good about mask wearing because that's what they choose to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't asked. I haven't gone out and asked the employees. You know,
well,
so that's my thought. But I mean, it's a board decision. It's not a Patty decision. So
at a minimum, I think it's important to respect the person that's wearing the mask. So if you come into Lori's workspace and she's wearing her mask, you need to put your mask on. So the employee should have a mask with them at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand the division on the meeting rooms. And to be quite honest, and you know, you don't get a lot of visitation in there from library staff when you're having a private meeting anyway. And that's the patron's then decision not to wear a mask. So you know, torn on this one.
I could meet Patty halfway on this. I mean, I really feel like, yeah, what Lori's saying about people coming in the library, if our staff isn't interacting with them, then, and if they want to make decisions about what they're doing in that room and we have the appropriate mm-hmm. air filters, then okay, we maybe could let that go. And while I'm more of a, where staff is concerned, I think that they ought to be respectful of one another and try to respect, you know, like personal space and wearing masks in front of one another. I also see your point about if you have a staff of 3 people and none of them wants to wear a mask and one of them walks in with COVID one day, then okay, that could be a problem. And and people could get sick and people could get hurt or die. And
so we'll have to close the library if they're all sick.
Right. No, fair enough. So, I mean, I'm fairly ambivalent on that point. Because I would hope that people would be respectful and thoughtful about, I'm making decisions in my life outside of work, and I come to work and I need to understand that other people haven't made the choices I made. But, okay.
I think what I love about this board is that we listen to one another. And anybody that thinks we're totally rigid should have been sitting in on this conversation for the last 20, 30 minutes. I think a lot of this comes down to just some of us have had experienced more loss in this than others. Some of us are more science-based in our just the way we handle ourselves. That doesn't make one person right or the other person wrong. It just means that there are always differences. People are tired. I guess I'm at the point where I could vote for a compromise of some sort. I wish I was wise enough to make one that would satisfy everybody.
Agreed.
I would agree with that.
So what is the compromise?
I think the compromise is at the meeting room, it is the group that's meeting there. It's their decision. And I think our library employees, it is their decision to, if they want to wear a mask. And I think out of courtesy, if a patron comes in wearing a mask, the library personnel to service that person needs to wear a mask.
Yes.
They need
to. And let it go at that.
Well, okay, so that's not my compromise. So I want to make sure what everybody else's compromise is. I mean, I'm open to opening the meeting rooms, but again, we have a responsibility, right? And we have a right as trustees to make policy in regards to employees. So where I compromise is that when there are patrons in the library, they should wear their mask. But if there are no patrons in the library, then kind of like Sheila says, they should be hopefully they'll be thoughtful of each other. They'll keep their distance. If somebody's wearing a mask, they'll wear a mask, right? But I don't want to say no mask for employees when patrons are coming in and we don't know how safe it is for them.
That is somewhat valid because, I mean, I've run into people that I knew had COVID in public places, not wearing masks. And it was stunning.
There are going to be people, okay, I'm just going to say this. There are going to be people who are sick who don't think they have COVID because, you know, COVID doesn't get them. And they're going to have COVID. Because they're not going to know unless they went and got a PCR test, because not even those home tests are necessarily working on this new variant.
I've run into people who told me they had COVID over the phone, and then I saw them at a public place with no mask. And they're like, hey. Right.
We know that we know the science says that the vaccination doesn't keep you from not getting COVID. What the vaccination does is it hopefully keeps you from going to the hospital, right?
Right.
So, but if we have an employee who has COVID and they bring it in and give it to other employees, we're at risk of having to close our library. And everybody has said, right? Everybody has said they're tired of the library being closed. And so the only way I know to balance that and to try to do what we can to keep our library open is that we try to do what we can to keep our employees as safe as possible. I can't mandate, maybe it's right, you're saying now, right? We can't mandate to the public when nobody else is wearing masks that they have to wear masks in the library, right? So maybe what we say is keep the sign on the door, mask recommended. We open up the library office, you know, the meeting rooms and say, you know, mask at your discretion, right? But I still think employees, like we need to keep employees safe. And we still need to make sure that if employees are sick, because there will be employees who, I know, there will be employees that go, oh, I just have a cold, and won't think they have COVID because maybe they had COVID before, or, you know, and they'll have COVID, right? And they could still bring it in and they could still spread it to their fellow employees and still close the library. I said my piece. I said my piece. My objective.
Should we divide this into two questions about the public space and about the employees?
Sure.
You want to make a motion, Sheila?
Sure. We'll start with, let's make a motion to allow the meeting rooms to be available to groups with masks at their discretion.
I second
that. I would second that.
I would third. Okay. So first and second. Sorry. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So the motion to allow meeting rooms open with mask discretion of the user.
Mask optional.
Yeah, mask optional. Thank you. Was made the motion by Sheila. It was seconded by, was it Alan?
Yes.
And motion carried. Okay.
I would make a second motion that library employees, when they have patrons in the library, they wear a mask. And it is the employee's discretion among themselves whether they wear a mask when they're alone.
By alone, you mean alone or amongst themselves alone?
Well, I'm not sure on that. The problem is employees that are working with other employees are going to have to rely on those other employees not to be infected and infect each other. So are we willing to trust our other employees or are we not?
I'm kind of into trusting employees myself. I mean, I think if we've given them the information and told them what the terms are, like what's at stake, they should make right decisions.
I kind of am there too. If there's no patrons, then masking at each employee's discretion. And they can talk to their coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And say, is this going to work for you or do you want me to wear a mask?
I do think that it's upon the branch manager to explain this all to them, though, to make sure that they all understand.
Right.
Sorry, Lori. Sorry, no, Ruby.
Actually, no.
No, that's okay.
What you were saying, Sheila, about it just being basic good manners, I think this is a new good manner that we're all going to have to get used to. And the idea of we always respond to the people in front of us. And if there's somebody, a staff member in front of us who wears a mask, I think it's, I think it's incumbent on us to also wear a mask because they signal to us that they're concerned about this. I think it's kind of
the greatest common denominator of safety.
Yeah.
And
I'd like to.
I agree. I would buy that.
I'd like to throw in here that I think it's imperative that employees always have a mask. Mm-hmm. Not just, oh, yes, I'm going to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Fair. That's fair enough. I mean, in my place of work, I mean, there's a lot of us who work there, but people have signs on their door. Wear a mask here. I don't care if you're wearing masks. Others are like, it's up to you. If you bring your mask, I got mine.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so do I need to redo the motion?
Wait a minute. I wrote something down. See if this works. The motion for the second motion is library employees are to wear a mask if patrons are present. If no patrons are present, mask use required if co-workers also wear a mask.
I'll buy that.
I don't think that's clear. Wait a minute. Can you read that again?
Well, it needs probably some refinement. It says wear a mask if patrons are present. If no patrons are present, mask use is required if co-workers also wear a mask, which is what we referred to earlier.
To me, I think that's really pretty darn clear. If you're working with one other employee and that other employee is wearing a mask, you need to put your mask on.
I think it's fair. I think that's probably a good way to put it. You know.
So, the motion is.
Karen.
If a patron walks in with a mask, employees wear a mask.
Right.
If employees are working.
That's not what we said. That is not what we said.
Present.
When we said when a patron is present, not whether or not they had a mask. We said when a patron is present.
Okay, I'll buy that. I'll buy that clarification. When a patron is present,
let me reread
employees
it, okay?
Will wear a mask. When the librarians are by themselves, it is if another employee is wearing a mask, all employees will wear a mask.
I'm not that sure that's what we said.
Karen had a good take on it.
Okay, let me read it again. Library employees are to wear a mask if patrons are present. If no patrons are present, mask use required if co-workers also wear a mask.
Maybe it's say if co-workers request they wear a mask.
Okay.
What do you guys think about that?
That's fine.
Okay. I mean, it's fine with me. I think
they request because that puts a burden on them.
I don't know that you have to request that people wear a mask. I think if you're wearing a mask, it's kind of implied.
Right. No, I agree. Not that you request, because a co-worker shouldn't have to ask a fellow employee. So I guess that's right, that a co-worker. Read that second part again.
If no patrons present, a mask use is required if co-workers also wear a mask.
Or choose to wear a mask.
Okay, that's good.
Mask use is required if co-workers choose to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
If you have a co-worker who's chosen to wear a mask, you need to put it on.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I think in most, you know, in some instances, somebody's at the desk, somebody's back in their office, they're not near each other. That's not even an issue. It's when you walk into somebody's office to talk to them that you need to worry about that. Or if you walk out of your office to go to the desk to talk to somebody, you need to worry about that.
Oh, here's the point. What if we add to this motion, if no patrons present, mask use required, if coworkers choose to wear a mask and are working close by?
Choose to wear masks in proximity to others?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I think,
I like the first statement. It seemed more simpler and clear.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, if we
like the first. Because, I mean, it kind of goes back to
what we all know what we mean.
Yeah, because it goes back to what you said, Sheila. It's about the library manager are going to have to communicate it. And what that means is be respect. If you have a coworker who's wearing a mask and there's no patrons in the library, be respectful. Wear a mask, right? Unless, of course, it's like Lori's in her office and, you know, Janie's at the front desk, right? Then that would be different. But I think they can explain that. And I think that that first way you said that motion, Karen, was simpler.
So simpler might be better. And the branch managers do their magic.
Lori, Ruben, is that okay?
Yeah, I think
that would go over really well.
Yeah.
It keeps a good balance.
Okay, we need motion two. Motion number two.
Okay.
Okay, so motion number two is when patrons are present.
No, Alan, you said you
we already have the motion.
Oh, okay.
Karen made the motion.
You're seconding it. That's the point.
Okay, I'll second Karen's motion then.
Well, okay. But you were the one you were motion one.
Oh.
Okay, so he did motion one, and you did amendment to motion one, right? Or is that what we're talking about? No.
I think we're making motions.
This is the second motion. Sorry. This is the second motion. On the second motion, Karen made the motion. Alan seconds it. All in favor?
Okay,
aye.
That's fine.
Aye.
That's fine. We're good.
Aye.
Sitting right along.
Oh,
good health to everybody. Good health.
Hard. Okay. All right. So this is for Karen. I want to have a discussion regarding, and I don't think this will be as hard. I want to have a discussion regarding the Board of Trustees returning to in-person meetings.
Please.
I'm all for it.
Somebody want to make a motion?
I would make a motion that we return.
Do we have any discussion? Do we have any discussion on that?
None.
Well, let's have the discussion after we make the motion.
Can we have hybrid meetings?
I was anticipating his question, and I'm going to discourage it. It's only because I am doing hybrid meetings with my Town of Castle Rock Planning Commission position. And the staff says it is about double the work for them. That it's great for those of us who want a choice between staying at home or going to the meeting, but that it's very labor intensive for the staff.
To do what? Stay home or go to the meeting?
Well, it means that there's somebody running the meeting physically there.
Personally.
And then there's somebody also having to run the technical side of it.
I think it is more, I mean, I don't know.
It is more work. Fair enough.
Okay, let me run this by you. My dog clubs, we're now having in-person meetings. And if we are having a board meeting and we have a board member that cannot attend, they can attend via Zoom. And we just have a phone there where they're on, and they're able to participate in votes because we've changed our bylaws to include that they can vote remotely. And it works very well because the person that's taking minutes is at the meeting and records whatever that Zoom person says.
Okay, can we just agree that as five board members, we can come together at a meeting? Because we also have to think about people who may want to attend in public, right? A public meeting, we have to think about that. We have to think about the library, you know, the library staff. I would just rather, I don't want to make it more complicated than it needs to be. Can we just all agree that at least in the next meeting, let's have a live meeting. And then if we need to go remote, we'll go remote. I mean, I'm trying to be thoughtful that we can all meet again. And I think the dynamics are good when we can all meet. And I think it helps Karen in terms of taking good minutes. Can we just do that? Do we really need to do a hybrid? Or were you just trying to throw something in there, Sheila?
Let me put it this way. I like these meetings online better. But I also get that it's not other people's thing. And what's it going to cost me 5 minutes driving down to the library? I can deal with it. Okay.
So I can do either or. But I, you know, I'm trying.
I just, I threw it out there. It's apparently very unpopular. I will let it go.
I was indiscreet here several months ago, and I basically asked everybody if they had their shots, and technically I can't do that, but made things less painful.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I can deal with it.
And I make a motion that we have in-person meetings next month.
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. So next month we're gonna start in-person meetings, and we'll play it. You know, we've done these web go-to meetings. So if we have a weather change or if there's some problem where we need somebody gets sick but they can still do the meeting and it's better to do it via Zoom, I mean, we'll do that. We'll try to work it out that way, right? But for the next meeting, if we can all meet in person, I think that's great. Okay. And then we're also going to do that work study meeting in May in person.
Right. Yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Does that help you some, Karen?
Yeah. I mean, we can, you know, play it by ear based on what's happening and as far as weather, COVID, whatnot. But yeah, it's just I have such a lousy connection and it's so difficult.
No, I understand.
Helps to have Ruben, you know, record it. But then I've got to listen to the next 2 hours again.
I know, okay. I know. Okay. I promise these meetings are going to get shorter.
Okay. We have a motion to have shorter meetings.
Right.
We've had so much business to cover, you guys, in the last 3 months. It's been crazy. But I promise you we're going to get better at this. So we just got to.
Patty, I want to thank you for your efforts, your dedication. You're smart. Really, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, so the next topic is discussion regarding name tags, business cards, and Pines and Plains Library accounts. So I wanted to, I think, Alan, maybe you made a discussion, but I heard you got taken care of recently in this regard, but that there was some discussion about in a couple of meetings back where we talked about, you know, the board of trustee members should have name tags or business cards so that we look professional. If we're out in the business, you know, we're out in the community, we can share that. And then I wanted to let you know, I mean, I think everybody said, yes, that's fine. And so I was going to take the action to do that, to take one less thing off of the, off of our interim directors, because they're trying to manage their libraries. They're trying to do the audit. They're trying to do interim director stuff. So what we'll do is we're going to have an election of officers in this next, the next agenda item. And so I will order name tags for all of us. Is everybody okay with that?
Sure.
Yes.
Business cards. If you want business cards, send me an email and let me know and I'll order those for you as well.
I would like the business cards primarily because if we're going out and about to view things or attend other groups as a representative from the library district, it's nice to leave a card with somebody.
Okay.
Is it too late to ask for some sort of an identifying hat?
No.
Okay, next year.
You want t-shirts too?
We can get you a face mask that says my name is.
Oh, we'll do face mask with our name and it'll say president, PPL president, PPL VP, PPL treasurer.
All right, let's keep going. We're doing it.
Okay. Then the other thing that, so all of our emails, and I don't know if people have thought about this, but all of our emails are open to FOIA request. And so Mariella made a good recommendation was, could we get the trustees and myself a Pines and Plains library email account so that all of our library business can be done on the library account and we don't have to try to keep our personal emails like separated from library business to personal stuff. So Ruben said he thought that could be done, but I wanted to hear what the trustees said before Ruben went and talked to the computer guy about it.
I'm good with it.
Brilliant. Yes, please.
I don't really care because my emails, I have everybody's stuff on my email and I'm the only person that sees that email. So when I reply back, I only send it. I send my email replies only to certain parties, whoever that email pertains to.
That's not the problem, though. I'm just saying that it's a personal email, right? If we got a FOIA request and they wanted to see all board member emails pertaining to the board work and activity, if you don't have a good way of organizing that in your personal email account, you're sending all of your personal email. You're going to be an HRC, a Hillary Rodham Clinton, with all of your email in that, right? In that email trail that you send. You know,
okay, I see your point. I see your point.
Yeah, I think it would be a lot easier to organize because I'm thinking about my emails. I have 5 email accounts and none of them are organized, but thank God they're all separate.
I have one, but I use it for like the professional stuff, so I try not to get spam on it. And then I have the one that I get all the spam, and it's hard. Like I spent like 8 hours the other day separating emails. So I want to make sure if we could do that. Ruben, could you take an action to get email, talk to the computer guy about, or the IT guy about getting emails for the trustees and for Mary Ellen so that we can do our business via the library district?
Yeah, no, absolutely. As far as I know, there's no limit. So if we hit any snags, I'll let you know, but he should have no problem making those. Does everyone want a standard, like, first initial last name at pplibraries.org?
Sure.
Yeah, or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any problem with me then? Just, I guess I'm the outlier here. I actually do have a segregated file for everything PPL. Can I just transfer that into the new account?
You probably could send that email to the new account. You could send a zip file to the new account with all of those things.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you. If I can download all those into that, if that's okay. I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't be, but I'd like to have it in one place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that would be fine. You would just send it from that one to the new one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Ruben, you're going to work on emails for us?
Yep, I will send him an email right now.
Thank you so much. And don't forget Mary Ellen, so she can put the financial stuff via a PPL account. And you can do M. Ellen, or you can do M. E. Denemy.
Okay, sounds good. I'll do the second one then.
Okay, so the last thing on the agenda before public comment is annual election of officers. So every year in March, we elect our officers. We elect president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. I'm recommending that somebody make a motion that we elect the same officers, but if somebody else disagrees with that or somebody else has a statement, I mean, I just don't want to throw something like that, throw Sheila in there, just being, you know, you're going to be whatever, but I
learning to do. I have to learn some more.
So I would like somebody, it would be easier, I think, if somebody would just make a motion to re-elect
I would make a motion to have our existing officers continue at their existing position for the upcoming year.
Is everybody okay with that? I just need to ask everybody, like, before you do the motion, like, is that okay with everybody? Do you want to continue on for another year or no? I should ask that question first because I didn't get to talk to people and ask.
Yes, that's fine.
Yes.
That's fine with me.
I'm just starting
to learn what I'm supposed to do, so I want to put it to good use here.
Got it. Okay. So, all right, make the motion, Alan.
Okay, I make the motion that our present officers continue at their present position for the upcoming year, 2022.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Sheila, seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
That's the fastest thing we've ever done. Okay, I'm going to open it up to public comment. Do we have anybody on the line from the public?
Yes. I want to know, does Sheila have her, how do we get her book?
Oh, I did talk to Ruben and Lori about her Board of Trustees book, and they said they could get that copied off and get it in a binder, so they'll work to get it for you.
Okay, great. If I need to pick it up somewhere, just let me know.
Okay.
Sheila, this is Alan. Can you tell me what part of the county are you in?
I am just outside of the city limits of Elizabeth on the east side.
Okay, you must live close to me then.
She lives close to you, Robert. I mean, Alan.
Okay. I just thought, well, maybe sometime I might meet you down at the coffee shop.
Sure.
I've been known to hang out there.
Okay, so no public comments. Are there any items of business from any of the members, any of the board members?
I would make a motion that we adjourn.
I would second that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Oh my gosh.
We're getting really good at this quick stuff.
It speeds up as we go through the night.
I'm hoping the April meeting will be a little bit better, but we had a lot of
agenda. We're face to face, so it should go quicker. We can.
Yeah. All right. Good work, everybody.
Buenas noches.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks. Adios.
Yes, thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ruben.
I will see you tomorrow, Patty, at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And, Ruben, you'll send me that recording, right?
Yep. Yeah, as soon as it's done processing tonight or in the morning.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Good night. Yep, thank you. Good night. Mm-hmm.